Dear Heavenly Father, as we look at your word together, may you illuminate to our hearts and our mind and our very soul what you want us to hear as individual Christians and as individual Christians who are part of a community of faith, the church, that we will be more like what you want us to be. It's in your Son, Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Compassionate response is the title of the sermon, and we can look at it that he feeds 5,000 here, miraculously. But before he feeds them, he heals their sick. And we sometimes overlook that portion, and that's what my first point's going to be about the healing of the sick. It's in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 14, verse 13 and following. Now, when Jesus heard about John, he withdrew from them in a boat to the secluded place by himself. When the people heard of this, they followed him on foot from the cities. When he went ashore, he saw a large crowd and felt compassion for them and healed their sick. When it was evening, the disciples came to him and said, "This place is desolate and the hour is already late, so send the crowds away that they may go into the villages and buy food for themselves." But Jesus said to them, "They do not need to go away. You give them something to eat." He turned the tables on them. He said, "Send them away and let them buy something." Most of these people were poor, and there probably wouldn't be a whole lot of places to buy food. They didn't have a 7-Eleven or a convenient mark or a fast food chain on every corner like we do. And they said to him, "We have here only 5 loaves and 2 fish. And he said to them, "Bring them here to me." Ordering the people to sit down on the grass, he took the 5 loaves with the 2 fish. Looking up towards heaven, he blessed the food, and breaking the loaves, he gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the crowd. They all ate and were satisfied. They picked up what was left over of the broken pieces, 12 full baskets. And there were about 5,000 men who ate, besides women and children. I always get tickled here because it says, besides women and children. If you got 5,000 men somewhere, you're probably going to have some women and children in their day and age. So it always tickles me. And people say he fed 5,000. Well, it was over 5,000 because you're thinking the women and the children eat. Come on. But dynamic Christians act with compassion in helping people. Dynamic Christians act with compassion in helping people. When we say helping people, that's really doing ministry. That's what ministry is about, helping people. And we can help them in so many ways. But you notice what it says. He tried to get away from the people. He tried to go to a secluded place because when he had heard about John. Now, but the John here, if you'd read the earlier part of this chapter, is John the Baptizer, who had been beheaded to please his angry wife, by the way, because his wife had been Herod's brother's wife, and he married her. And John talked about that, how that was inappropriate. And she didn't like that, so she used her daughter to scheme a way to get John the Baptizer beheaded. Now, we don't behead preachers anymore. We just send them to another church. And we've gotten a little more sophisticated. We don't behead them. But you see, Jesus tried to withdraw to a secluded place. By the way, Jesus' cousin was John the Baptizer. John was 6 months older than Jesus. But when he got there, the people heard of where he was going, and they beat him there by walking around because he was trying to be alone. And he got out of the boat, and he felt compassion for them, so he healed their sick. Compassion motivated him to ministry, to heal their sick. We're called to help people. If you're a Christian, you've been called to some form of service through the church. I don't know what you've been called to specifically, but God's got a call on your life if you're a believer. Some are called to be preachers, and I know you'll be glad when I learn how to do it, but some are called to be teachers. Some are called to be evangelists. By the way, the pastor-teacher role is one office. My specific gift is teaching, but I'm also a pastor. But you don't tell a congregation you're a teacher, because they, when people hear teacher, they think what? Boring, stuff I don't want to learn because we were in school. Nothing against you educators. But what they think is, he's going to make me learn stuff I don't want to learn. And I want to go. I get angry at our system sometimes because it blames the teacher for everything. You cannot make someone learn. Can't do it. You can offer them opportunities. You can teach. You can coach. But you cannot make somebody learn. They have to have some desire at some level. One reason I get angry when all these polls compare public education to private schools, nothing against private schools, but when they compare them, because in most private schools you have a lot of parent participation. Some of our public schools you have next to none. And that makes it difficult for the child. If I didn't get good grades, I got a spanking. I know my parents aren't politically correct anymore, but and they'd say, you need to do more homework. And I went, I got to tell you this story. I'm getting sidetracked, but I got to tell you a story. And I was in the ninth grade, and about 6 weeks in, my mother said, I do not know who you're fooling. I said, what are you talking about? She said, you bring your books home, and you put them on that place, and you don't talk that long. That's a dead spot, actually. Let me move over here. You don't touch them all night long, and then you pick them up the next morning and take them to school. Who do you think you're fooling? I said, Mama, I'm not trying to fool anybody. Well, why do you bring all those books home if you don't have any homework? I did my homework in other classes, by the way. That's not a model you should emulate. But that's what I did. I had all my homework done before I got home. And she said, well, why do you bring all your books home? I said, I wasn't where I was supposed to be when they handed out locker assignments, so I don't have a locker. I have no place to leave them. And she went, ah. So I got a spanking for not being where I was supposed to be when they handed out locker. But that tells you what I was like. But you see, she wasn't too motivated by compassion then. But compassion is motivate us to do ministry. To motivate us to do ministry. I've seen people feed the hungry with almost anger in their face. It was duty-oriented. And they were despising the people they were helping. That's not very compassionate. By the way, it's not very Christian. I had a member in one of my churches said, they need to get a job. I said, well, okay, are you going to help them get a job? He said, what? Do they have the education and the skills to get a job? You have a company. Have you hired, talked to them about being hired? No. And I said, it's easy for you to say that, but have you tried to help them? You see, I do believe people or to work if they're able. But we, the church, might need to help them get a job. I've had churches where we had GED classes taught in them. I've had churches where we've had English as a second language taught to people that can't speak English to help them can't speak English well. They're sort of like me, you know. I speak South Georgian. I don't speak the King's English. But you help them. Because we have compassion for them. By the way, we're commanded by Christ to help them. And we sometimes forget that. But compassion for them motivated him to heal their sick. To help people, we're having trouble the last few weeks, if you can't notice, with the sound system. Last week we had static, and this week I don't know what we're doing. But if you act with compassion when you help people, it transforms the experience. I tell people all the time, we're to have God's heart. We're to have God's heart for people. Have you ever thought about that, Deans? He died on the cross for us. No, I'm not asking you to die on the cross. But we're to have compassion for people and help them. We're to have God's heart. But just as dynamic Christians act with compassion in helping people, dynamic Christians look beyond themselves in doing ministry. Dynamic Christians look beyond themselves in doing ministry. I love what the disciples did. Lord, send them away. It's already late. And where they can buy food. I've always figured the disciples were hungry too. And they wanted to go get something to eat. Y'all looking at me like, preacher, you're bad. Well, the disciples are human. They just like us. It's already late, Lord. Send them away. And he says, you feed them. And they went, there's 5,000 people here, plus women and children. I was like, plus women and children. There's probably 5,000 women and children. And they said, Lord, we only have 5 loaves and 2 fish. They're basically saying, we can't do it. Look at all these people. We got 5 loaves and 2 fish. And Jesus said, bring them to me. And he brought them to him. And he looked up and he blessed it. And they passed it out. And then they gathered up what was left over after the people were all satisfied, and they were 12 baskets full. More than enough. And 12 baskets. Don't miss the symbolism of 12. 12 tribes, 12 disciples, 12 baskets. Now, believe it or not, there are people who have all kind of theories about this. This is why I think they collected the 12 baskets. They'll tell you, well, what it was, they were in such a spiritual condition, they all ate a little tiny piece of the bread and a little tiny piece of the fish, and they were satisfied, and that's why he could feed 5,000. There was no miracle here. And I always go, what about the 12 baskets? What about the 12 baskets? I don't know about you, but I don't know what kind of fish y'all catch, but 5,000 people, women and children, eating on them fish, if they just took a little portion there, there were some big fish if there wasn't a miracle. I'd call them whales. Of course there was a miracle. There are 12 baskets. I don't know why some people have trouble with miracles. Jesus died on the cross and was resurrected from the dead. That's a pretty good miracle. Never to taste death again. If you take the Bible seriously, and I've been here long enough for you to know I take it seriously, that means we who believe also, once we die and leave this place, we go to a better place where there are no more tears of sadness. There might be tears of joy, but none of sadness. I believe in miracles. I think God works miracles all the time. He turned me into a preacher. That was a pretty big miracle. But when we do ministry, we need to look beyond what we and others can do, and ask God for guidance, direction, strength, power, and whatever He wants to happen, to happen. We look beyond ourselves. Folks, the church is here 2,000 years later after Christ crucified and resurrected. That's a miracle. Many have tried to stamp out the church over the years. Hitler tried to co-opt the church. Dachau was a concentration camp, not only for Jews, it was also a concentration camp for ministers who did not conform to Hitler's new way of doing things. If you didn't change your story and go along with Hitler's scheme in the church as a minister, you were sent to Dachau. ministers were sent to Dachau because they would not be co-opted by his evil reign. We look beyond ourselves when we do ministry. The six-week campaign, for whatever lack of a better word we're going to do, is about asking people to do more. And that people, by the way, is y'all, in every aspect of your Christian walk. Why? Because we're supposed to grow as Christians. We're to look beyond ourselves and seek God's guidance and direction and strength and power. That means we get in tune and align with God's vision. Jesus here is saying, Lord, this is what I got. Bless it. And it fed 5,000 people and women and children, and 12 basket loads were full. He had more left over than he started with. The old saying, you can't outgive God. We can't even get even with him. He gave us eternal life. We can't catch up with him, let alone outgive him. And when we do ministry, we're to look beyond just what we can do, even with others, and ask God for direction, guidance, strength, power, and a miracle wouldn't hurt. Doesn't mean he's going to do it for us. But we need to get in tune with him and do it with him. Always a question I've asked, usually by young people, do you believe in faith healers? My answer to that is probably not. But I believe in faith healing, because the healer's God. I had a friend of mine, I'm going to share this story. I was in Texas, and we went to lunch. He called me and said, we need to go to lunch today. I got to talk to you about something. I could tell he was upset, and I went to him. I said, okay. Well, last week I went to visit this member who was dying of cancer, and I had a prayer with him. I said, okay. And he said, the room got really hot, and there was a glow in there, and I just thought I wasn't feeling good or something. So when I left after the prayer, he said, but 3 days later, they sent him home because they did a CAT scan. They couldn't find any cancer. I said, okay. He said, I think I healed him. I said, that sounds great. We ought to celebrate. He was scared to death. He said, I've never had anything like that happen. I said, you might not ever have anything like that happen again. He said, I ain't even told my wife. I needed to talk to somebody. That's why I called you to have lunch. What do you think? I said, I think God healed him. Do I need to tell anybody about it? I said, isn't he telling everybody God healed him? Well, yeah. I said, you don't have to say a word. Nothing wrong with you saying anything. I believe in faith healing. I believe in miracles. Let me tell you something, folks. When a person steps over from being lost to being redeemed, that's a miracle. They're never going to die again spiritually. They're alive. And when that happens in the church, we go, that's nice. I'm like, nice. It's a miracle. Don't you remember the change in your life? It's a miracle. We look beyond ourselves when we do ministry because we look to God. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this miracle. I'm always amazed, Lord, because they talk about the feeding of 5,000 as a miracle, but you also healed all their sick. That was a pretty good miracle. We thank you for that, Lord. We're thankful that you still do miracles every day. We just might not be aware of them. And we thank you for being a God of grace and love and compassion and miracles. It's in your Son, Jesus Christ's name, we pray. Amen.